Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we're going to enter into the world of children. My guest is Teresa Carter. She is the founder of a company that is publishing stories about well-known people in American history and various aspects of history. But the first one is about Abraham Lincoln. It's Abraham Lincoln and the Forest of Little Pigeon Creek. I'd like to welcome to the show Teresa Carter. Hi, Teresa. Welcome.
Hi, Donna. Thank you. Great to be here with you.
Now, I want to go into your background a little bit because so many of my listeners have children, and one of the biggest concerns that we have today has to do with literacy with young children. Now, you're the founder and president of AmeriTales Entertainment, and it's sort of one of a kind. It's a character-based entertainment company that you established in 2005. You produce fictional action-adventure content, but it's evolved around real-life historical heroes. You're very much involved on all levels of the company. It is really wanting, as a company, to reach the objective of pioneering and providing family entertainment that is going to be of good quality and inspiring kids to enjoy reading. Teresa, why did this, how did this come about for you? I mean, most individuals that have children, and I know you've got a nice family, when they have children, this isn't something they're going to set out to do, to start publishing books. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And I think if I had known how difficult the journey is, I might have thought twice about it. But it's really, what I'm doing now, Donna, it's I'm following my passion. And as a little kid, reading biographies in the library and at Washburn Elementary School in Cincinnati, Ohio, came a fondness for American history. And I've always wanted to share that love of history with my children. But my oldest son wasn't interested in history. He was more interested in the Power Rangers. He wanted to read about the Power Rangers. He wanted to watch Power Rangers DVDs, etc. And so as my younger children came about, I thought, oh my gosh, I don't want to miss this opportunity with them too, to, you know, to sit down and share my love and read history books with them. But again, I was facing that same problem. My younger son was very interested in, you know, football heroes and Spider-Man and SpongeBob. And I thought, you know, why can't he be as enamored with a character, an individual like Abraham Lincoln, as he is with, you know, Spider-Man and SpongeBob and The Incredibles? And I realized, you know what, there's a huge void in the marketplace. These characters, these historical characters, haven't been presented to children in the right way. If you take them and make them start from the perspective of history is entertainment and use it to fill that void in the marketplace where you have all of these fictional characters that kids are so excited about, and if you could take some real-life action heroes and really bring their personalities to life for children, kids would see, wow, you know, Abraham Lincoln did this just like I did. You know, he used to clown around and he used to love animals and, you know, people called him lazy and, you know, some of the stuff that I'm experiencing. And he went and he had these wonderful, you know, daring adventures that we've you know, put into it to make it more entertaining and make it more fun for the kids. But we stay very true to the individual's personality, his life, what it was like during that time period, etc. So I just saw a huge opportunity to fill a void in the marketplace with real-life action heroes that could be presented to kids using the storytelling format similar to what you see with a superhero story, where you have this hero who has helpers and foes as he goes along the way to try to conquer some type of quest. So that's really how the idea emanated. And it really came home to roost for me when my husband came home from work one day and my younger son, imitating SpongeBob, mooned him. And I realized, you know what, we've got to find some other, you know, more types of, different types of entertainment for him.
I can concur with that totally. That is something that has caused a lot of anxiousness on the part of many parents, because so much of what may be popular in mainstream often has more of what we would describe as adult content, and some of it for, you know, it's amazing to me. A lot of things are promoted in the programming that do not give good examples to the kids and living everyday life, and they associate with those quite frequently. It's an interesting world. I think that the parents today have challenges that, let's say, parents like myself 30 years ago would never have even dreamed of encountering. So the world changes. That's one thing that goes on. So you've done this. Now, you have a background also where you had an 8-year tenure at the Coca-Cola company. You were associated with being the brand manager of Sprite and the senior brand manager of Diet Coke. So you have had some interesting working environments that really have given you an impetus to understanding what marketing is about, what it is to reach people, and all of this has just sort of gotten woven in to a tapestry of a plan that looks like it's going to be really taking off. You have this book, AmeriTales, presents Abraham Lincoln in the Forest of Little Pigeon Creek. What is the age bracket for this book?
Well, this book, and in fact our entire series of books, it's targeted for children from about kindergarten to about the fourth grade, so about 5 to 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do with this series is, it's a very visual series. If you, of course, have seen the book, and so it's very visually driven. But the language in the book is very rich, very reflective of the time period, very colorful. But it's not filled with baby words. So there are some words in there that will challenge kids. So it's more probably of a read-along book for kids in that, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-old age group. But for 8, 9, and 10-year-olds, it's more of a book that they can probably just take and read and enjoy on their own. So it's a more of an interactive experience for the younger end of our target and an individual type of reading experience for the older end.
Now, let's talk a moment about literacy before we get into the story of the book. This has become, and actually has been, a major issue for a number of years. And here you are involved in children's books. I'm a children's book author myself. And I know what it's like to be able to share with children that enjoy reading. You yourself have really had quite an impetus at being able to bring this thought of making reading an enjoyable experience for young children, because once those habits are established, then those habits are really going to stay with them for most of their lives. And it's so significant. How are you becoming involved with the area of literacy? And with your experience with this book, what has affected you strongly when you're interacting with children and parents?
Well, let me say, first of all, that with this book, one of the things that, or with the entire series for AmeriTales, we try to really stress the fact that learning should be fun. So we're teaching children valuable lessons in terms of character development, and really our books take them on a journey of self-discovery. As an example, with the Abraham Lincoln book, it's a wonderful journey with him as he discovers for himself how to overcome his fear. So we're providing children with, you know, self-discovery, problem-solving types of tools with our adventure stories. And it's all done in a very fun, entertaining environment, because first and foremost, the book has got to be entertaining, or the kids aren't going to want to read it and read it again and have it as part of their collection and latch on to the series. So we really start from that premise of entertainment. And as I said before, it's just so important that you get the kids hooked in and they understand that this is going to be a fun experience, that they, you know, don't look at it as history as usual, you know, full of boring facts and figures and untouchable characters, etc. And so what we want to do is we want to use the series as an impetus to get kids immersed in American history, positioning it as entertainment, adventure stories. And we would like to really expose as many kids as possible to this series by targeting libraries. We are working right now on a huge book giveaway that we are planning during the month of May to impact that out-of-school season, that summer reading season, where we want kids reading and enjoying books all summer long, in addition to all the other fun things that they're doing. And so we're working with a number of organizations, and we don't quite have our announcement ready yet, but we're going to have an announcement during the month of May where we're going to have a huge book giveaway to underprivileged children and to libraries and those types of communities. To encourage reading throughout the summer. And this is our contribution to literacy. We realize it is so important to get a child to the point where they can read on their own, they can read comfortably, and they feel confident in their reading by the second grade. And that's really by age 8. Because many times if you don't get them by then, you know, you often end up, you know, losing them or they become discouraged. And so we want to, you know, have some kind of an impact on early reading skills and do something to help children who don't have the access to books.
The challenge, I think, when you're putting a story together, like you said, is to be able to create content where the kid wants to follow to the next page. And I know that when children love the story, they often like to play out the stories. They'll often like to read to other children. This is something that when the love of reading is encouraged at a young age, it's a joy. They want to explore more and more. Let's talk about Abraham Lincoln. Why was Abraham Lincoln the first one that you decided you were going to focus on?
Abraham Lincoln was a natural first book for us to start our series with. He's someone that I had read extensively about. I've read more books on Abraham Lincoln than I have on anyone. And he is also someone who really epitomizes the American dream, having come from such extremely humble beginnings to become president of the United States. But if you really think about it, Donna, what do kids know about Abraham Lincoln, young children? They know he was born in a log cabin, they know he had a beard and he wore a top hat, and they know he was president during the Civil War and that he freed the slaves. But there is so much more for young children to know and really enjoy about Abraham Lincoln in terms of his youth and what his life was really like, the fact that he loved to read and that he didn't have access to books and that he had to walk across the forest to borrow books. The fact that he liked to tell jokes and that he was considered, you know, somewhat of a clown, the way that he used words and books to help solve problems. So there's so many other wonderful things about his character that I think children would find interesting. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to do with this series. We're trying to uncover many of those hidden gems, those hidden facts about these characters that aren't readily made available to children or really to anyone, so that kids can really immerse themselves in the personality and the character of the individual. Because this is really not about history. This is really about characters and the different adventures that they had as children and sharing them with the children of today so that they can, too, go on these wonderful journeys again, these wonderful adventures of self-discovery and learn, just like Abraham Lincoln did, just like Amelia Earhart did, and just like, you know, Thomas Edison and Jackie Robinson and many of the other wonderful characters that we're writing about. And I want to also add about this series, one of the other things that has influenced me very strongly about it, in addition to my love of history and my love of, you know, reading about people like Abraham Lincoln, has been the influence of comics on me. I mean, I used to love to read the comics when I was a child. And so one of the things that we've done, in fact, most kids, when they look at our books, will say, wow, is this is like, you know, a Disney book or something, because mm-hmm. they're very bright, they're bold, they're colorful. They don't look like the typical, you know, kind of faded, drab, watercolor history book that a kid might typically pick up. And so we have also, we have kind of like comic texture in the books where you would see someone thinking something, kind of a, the bubble copy as we call it. So that's been a major influence also on my writing style. And it's also been one of the things that has really attracted kids to these books.
Well, Randy Jennings is a wonderful illustrator. And he is the one that has brought a lot of your ideas to life. And as you said, the colors are just wonderfully, wonderfully vibrant. Let's talk about the content of your book a little bit. You start off right away with an image of Abraham Lincoln as a boy. Of course, this is about his young years. And him in the forest, and he's getting entangled in spider's webs, and he's dealing with fear, and he's 9 years old when he's going through this experience. You're very clear about defining the age here, and he's in the middle of this dark forest. So right there, right off the bat, and there's this turkey. How in the world did you come up with a turkey?
We wanted Abe to have a partner, and Abraham Lincoln loved animals. I don't know that a lot of people know that about him. And when he was president of the United States, his youngest son, Tad, actually had a pet named Jack, a pet turkey named Jack, that Lincoln spared him from being executed for Thanksgiving.
I remember
and so he
that
became,
story.
He became Tad's pet. And we thought, wow, it would be wonderful to bring Jack into the picture a little earlier and have him, instead of being Tad's pet, have him to be Lincoln's companion as he travels through the forest. And so that's where that idea came from.
Well,
and things like that, by the way, Donna, we make very clear at the end of the story where we actually talk about, you know, who Jack was, who Mr. Crawford was, et cetera, to give kids a clearer picture as to, you know, how these characters really interacted.
You bring out also in your book about Abraham Lincoln, you bring out information about a lot of the creatures that were around at that time. For example, passenger pigeons. And they're gone. They were destroyed a long time ago. And here you have them highlighted in the book because they were still around during Abraham Lincoln's time. You have the bison. You have a panther that's there in the book. When you were doing the research to put this together and you were weaving the fictional content to go around these various characters, how did you determine what you were going to do in that fictional format? How did you decide as an author that you were going to have good substance here? And again, it's fictitious, but yet you were going to weave this story. What did you do to give it the meat that it's got in it?
Well, I really wanted the story to be, even though it's spiced, well, I like to say it's spiced with fiction, the heart of the story, though, is very much factually based. As I said, the characters, their personalities, the settings, when it comes to things such as the forest and the creatures who were in the forest, I wanted that to very much be authentic. And so I did a lot of research on what if Abe used, and it is a fact that Abraham Lincoln as a child did walk through the forest to borrow books. And so I did a lot of research into the forest of Indiana during that time period in southern Indiana. What might Abe have encountered? And those are all real creatures who would have been present in those forests during that time. And a lot of people didn't realize that. I mean, I remember showing drafts of the book to people, and they said, buffalo? You can't, you know, what are you doing? You can't have, you know, there are no buffalo in the forest. Like, yeah, there were. There really were during this time period. There aren't anymore, but there were back in 1818. They very much had a very strong presence in the forest in Indiana. So a lot of people are very surprised by that. And so that's one of the things, again, that we wanted to do. We wanted to uncover, you know, some of these facts that haven't been revealed before about this time period when Lincoln lived. And so what I tried to do was this is very much a story with a very strong environmental message in terms of the animals and their treatment. And so that's one of the reasons why I chose to really play up so strongly the role of the passenger pigeon, the buffalo, the panthers, and all the other creatures that roamed the forest back in 1818.
You have a character in your book called Mr. Crawford, and he's nicknamed Mr. Blue Nose. And he actually was a person that was in Abraham Lincoln's life.
Absolutely. He was, they all considered him rich because he owned books. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
someone was rich back then because they owned, you know, quite a, they had an extensive library collection. So Mr. Crawford was the rich man. And there'll be more about him as we continue on this series, because this series will not only, you know, we're not only going to talk about other characters like Amelia Earhart and Thomas Edison, but we're going to do a follow-up. We have this great idea for a follow-up to this book about Abraham Lincoln. So you'll see more of Mr. Crawford. But yes, Mr. Crawford is an actual person that Lincoln walked through the forest to borrow books from, because he was, you know, one of the people in that town of Little Pigeon Creek, and that's the actual name of the community where Lincoln did grow up. It's called Little Pigeon Creek, and thus the title. And, of course, the title emanated from the fact that, you know, there were so many passenger pigeons during that day. It was the most numerous bird in North America. So Mr. Crawford's a very colorful character, very, you know, crotchety, kind of rough, gruff, individual that Abe dealt with, and there's going to be a lot more fun and interaction with him later on. And he really did, as I said in the book, he really did have a blue nose. He had this big purplish blue vein that went across his nose, and you know, he had this big crooked you know, monstrosity, as they called it, of a nose. And so the kids called him Old Blue Nose, and Abe used to have a lot of fun with him, and so there'll be a lot more coming up in terms of the interaction of Abe and Mr. Crawford in future books.
With the book, you bring in, as you mentioned, a number of different critters, and one of them is the bear. You bring out the information that Abe gets in between a mama bear and her cub. So you have these different adventures that he goes through, and part of it includes lessons along the way. They're very subtly presented, but it's just little comments and statements that enable the young reader to make associations in the mind. And each time they would read the book, that association of, gee, if you're around a wild bear, you keep your distance, you don't get between a mother and a cub. And all of these little things that you have in there, and of course, Jack the turkey is just the hero because he saves Jack from a bear. But there's just a lot of issues that Abe, as this 9-year-old, is dealing with, and one of them is fear. And I don't know of anyone that doesn't deal with that, especially when you're young and you're encountering new things, and maybe mom and dad aren't around to help you, and who knows, you know, what's going on in the kid's environment. And dealing with fear is an important issue. And that's something that you address in this book. Was this stimulated by something your own children had gone through?
No, it wasn't stimulated specifically from any experience they had. You know, you probably know this, as a writer, you know, sometimes you just kind of get a vision of, you know, what your story is supposed to be about. And the more I thought about, you know, I knew this was a book I wanted to write about Abraham Lincoln and the Fourth. And then the more I read about him and how, you know, children back then had to be so self-sufficient at a very, very young age. And so it kind of naturally came to me, well, this should be a, you know, story about him in the forest and his encounter with the bear, once I, you know, learned how he traveled through the forest and all of that. So it kind of, you know, was a vision that just kind of naturally came together for me the more research I did into Abraham Lincoln's life, and the more I learned about the things that he did and learned about the forest and some of the things he might have encountered, and, you know, his father's attitude towards him, and, you know, and his reading that comes out. So it naturally emanated from all the research and the study that I did. But I know that one of the things that books do for children is it provides them a safe environment to conquer their fears, or to conquer, you know, things, problems that they are encountering in life. And that's one of the things that we try to do with this entire series. We like to position it as their adventures of self-discovery. And so this is an opportunity for children to observe how Lincoln discovers how he can overcome his fear. And I don't know if there's a subtle message in the book also about, you know, should he, you know, go Mr. Crawford's route of using violence to conquer his fear? When Mr. Crawford, you know, kind of has the rifle behind him and says, I'll show you how to handle those critters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he rejects that violent approach, and he decides, you know what, there's another approach by reading and by learning. That's another way to conquer our fear. So I'm inviting children to go on an adventure of self-discovery with Abraham Lincoln, so that hopefully they will learn and pick up some tools on how they can for themselves solve problems by observing the way that Lincoln in this adventure conquered his fear.
And I think that's a very good point, because when children can be taught, it's something a lot of adults, I think, need to be taught too, that, well, when they're young, they need to learn the fact that there are different ways of handling things. There's no one black or white perspective, and you do have choice. And that's something that you bring through in this book, Abraham Lincoln and the Forest of Little Pigeon Creek. Now, I know we are going to just have a little bit more time here, Teresa. You've got a series that's coming out. AmeriTales is available. People can go to your website, and they can check out all kinds of information. And give us your website, please.
Oh, sure. The book is available at AmeriTales, www.ameritales.com. Also at Amazon.com and Borders.com. And we are working with a distributor to hopefully make it available in bookstores and libraries sometime over the next few months.
Now, Teresa, what words of wisdom would you give to someone who wants to be an author of children's books?
I think I would say this. One of the things that I looked at as an example is Charles Dickens. Because he's one of my favorite writers, and he had a passion about what he wrote about. And his passion was, of course, he wrote a lot about orphans and poor children. And my passion is history, and that's what I'm writing about. And so my advice that I would give to any writer is what is that thing that you feel so passionately about that drives you, you know, and write about that. Let that come out of your heart. And think about how you can write about it if it's something that's generally and very broadly available, like history as an example. How can you put your own, you know, tweak on it, your own spin on it, to have it come out very differently so that you can get the attention of children? And so what we've done is take history and turn it into entertainment and have these wonderful, you know, adventures in self-discovery that, you know, where each in one of our books, you know, kids will pick it up and they'll learn about, you know, how Lincoln conquered his fear, how Amelia Earhart, you know, became such a persistent little adventurer, how Thomas Edison got over his the issues he faced in school, in the classroom, to become, you know, one of the world's greatest inventors. And so we take children on these wonderful adventures of self-discovery. And so I would say to anyone, you know, follow your passion. What is that thing that really drives you, that you're really interested in? Because you're going to be so ingrained in what you're doing that it's going to have to be something that really comes from your heart. And then think about what new twists can you put on that to get the attention of the marketplace.
This is Donna Sebo. My guest has been Teresa Carter. Her children's series, the first book is Abraham Lincoln and the Forest of Little Pigeon Creek, which is a real place. And you can go to her website, AmeriTales, AmeriTales.com. And she is going to be giving more information out. You can check on her website if you are involved with children or you would like to know more about this special book program that they are working with for summer for children that do not have the opportunity to have access to good reading material. Go to her website again, AmeriTales.com, and you'll learn all about that major book giveaway that's going to be coming around in May. Teresa, thanks so much. I wish you the best in your endeavor. and you'll have to keep me appraised as you come out with your new issues.
I sure will. And by the way, our book just won a Mom's Choice Award, so we're real excited about that. Thank you so much for your time, Donna.
You're welcome, Teresa. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Siebel on her show on BBSRadio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel, and telephone number 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, if you're wondering why I'm giving it out, well, if you're a new listener, you have the opportunity to call in and chat with me. I'd be delighted to give you a reading on the air. Telephone numbers again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial, and then after that, I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you are interested in finding out about. It's really quite simple, quite easy. Now, I wanted to bring up the fact again, this April 19th coming up, for those of you in the state of Washington listening, I'm going to be presenting a class Saturday, April the 19th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, this class is about mental ecology. I want to jumpstart your personal vision, rev up your intuitive skills, your problem solving, and then we're going to look at having some clarity about perspectives, objectives, and life purpose. This is about beauty, style, and greatness from the inside out, because you know it has to start there. Now, this is going to be held at the Center for Spiritual Living at 206 North J Street in Tacoma, and it's $89 for the class, and that includes lunch. Now, if you'd like to attend this, the telephone number to call to make reservations is 253-383-3151. That's 253-383-3151. And part of the proceeds of the fee are going to be going towards the restoration of the Center for Spiritual Living. This is a building that just turned 100 years old today. So, as with old buildings, we always have to do something to get them up, get them going, and keep them looking spry and sassy. But they have beautiful stained glass windows in it and all kinds of things. So, I'm really looking forward to being able to do the class there. And if you want to, you can always call my office at 800-872-8852, and I can give you some information also. Again, 253-383-3151 if you would like to attend the class. You know, I just mentioned about this 100-year-old building. We're in the time of the year when so many individuals want to be able to buy a home. Maybe you've gotten transferred by your job to a new locale. This springtime is absolutely the best time to put your house up for sale. And I know when I'm out walking my Scotties, I find there are so many houses now that are bearing signs, for sale by owner, or There's a real estate agent, and these houses are ready to go. People have been priming them and prepping them so that they can sell them quickly. Well, having an empty house can really be a nice thing when you go in. In fact, you will find that there are those people that will help you set up your house. So if you're a seller, that they are going to be staging your house, so it's going to be the most attractive home possible. And there's a lot of things that you can learn about staging your home. But I want to come from the buyer's perspective right now, because if you are really looking and you want to check a place out, it's a good idea to know what you should check for. And the reason this came to my attention is I was talking with someone just the other day who said they're looking for a house, and they know that in certain parts of the country that the market is sort of soft, so that they have a lot more to choose from. And it is the buyer's market, that their area of the country that they happen to be in. Well, we were discussing this, and I said, okay, we need to chat about this. And I've had a number of guests on my show through the years that have given some wonderful, wonderful information. And one of them is a gentleman, Richard C. Smith. He has been a guest on the show a number of times, and he has just given so much wonderful information, along with some other real estate people that I've interacted with. And I found that what Richard said and what other people have said that I've been in touch with, they say you really have to ask questions, because when you buy a home, depending on the age of the home and how many times even it's been sold, how long people have lived there, sometimes things are not taken care of. You know, when you live in a place for a long time, you get used to what's there and you really aren't paying too much attention to a lot of what's going on around you. So you need to find out, number one, if a house is empty, if someone has had to move and they've assigned this to a real estate agent, and I know of a house just in our own neighborhood that was empty for almost 2 years, and the people had had to move away. Well, finally, a family moved in, but I often wonder, gee, how much were they able to check? Because you need to check to see if the, you know, how long the utilities have been disconnected, and the plumbing, was the plumbing drained? Because there can be leaks in pipes that may not show up right away. And I know when we bought our home had been empty for almost 3 years. So when we moved in, it was actually 2 years after we moved in, there were a lot of things that we found out about that we hadn't had a clue had been not done properly with the house. And one of them was that some pipes had never been properly connected. Now, that's hard to believe, but it was pipes for our master bath and the master bath sinks. They were used, but they weren't used frequently like you'd use the kitchen sink or whatever, but it was the pipes for the master bath sink that had not been connected. It took us 2 years before we found out about it, and the only reason we found out about it is because we got invaded with some critters, and when an exterminator came out, he noticed a water line on the underside of the house and some damp earth, and he pointed that out to us, and we didn't have a clue. So he just came outside, looked outside the house. This is the exterminator. Looked at the house, and he said, well, do you have a bathroom upstairs? I said, yes. He said, well, why don't you run the water? I said, okay. So I ran it in the shower. No water was coming out. Ran water in the master bath sinks. He said, you got it. That's where it's from. So we had to call a plumber out to be able to fix this. This had been going on for 2 years. We had had water running down underneath the house. Another thing that it affected us, not seriously, but you have to be aware that when you have your house inspector coming out, that they need to check for invaders. Like here in the Pacific Northwest, we have critters called carpenter ants. Mm-hmm. They can really do a number on a house. So critters and insects will move into empty houses, and that's really something that you should have checked. And I know in the state of California that's mandatory. Up here in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of things that are mandatory. But it's a good idea to have a checklist of your own. And there's all kinds of books that you can go to regarding how what to look for when you go in to buy a home. And if it's been empty for a while, you need to be aware of that. Nests can be built in chimneys and fireplaces. Attics can be home to raccoons, possums, skunks, woodchucks, squirrels. When I think of that, I think of a very dear friend of ours who found a whole family of raccoons that had taken up residence in his attic, in his home. And it was comical later when he was talking about it, but he actually had to set up something so that the mother would, because she had nested there for a couple of years, and he had been unaware of it. And it wasn't until he started doing some repair work on his home that he found them. And she had devised a route to get up into this attic area, and their place had been vacant for a while. So she had found a way to get in, and of course she didn't want to leave that cozy space, so he had to work with a scheme, because he didn't want to trap them, he didn't want to hurt them, there's a lot of forest around him. So he made it so that the little raccoons, the babies, could get out by going down a certain pathway. And then finally Mama came out, and when Mama came out and the kids were all out, then by golly, he went up and he closed the area off. But it took him months to be able to do that, because the mother was very protective of her space. So it's amazing. Critters are very, very sharp. Now, if you're going to be in a home and it has a fireplace, you want to be sure that you check the damper. And you want to be sure that you maybe have a chimney sweep come out if you are going to purchase the home, and have them clean out your chimney. Because otherwise you're going to have some problems. We had some friends that had bought a home that was a historical house. And it was like four levels. It was a Victorian home built in the late 1800s. And their chimney, I forget how many feet up it went. And when they had a chimney sweep coming out, because the fire wouldn't work in the fireplace. Well, the thing was so big that they found nests had fallen down through the fireplace itself. So into, you know, the chimney. So you just need to be aware of these things. And you can get bees. That's right. You can get hornets, yellow jackets. You also can have roof leaks. So there are really a lot of things when you're going to be out looking at a home that you need to check. And also, if there's been any kind of water damage, you need to find out about that. It's a good idea, if you're going to use a real estate agent, make sure that that real estate agent really knows the right questions to ask. Also, when you educate yourself, sometimes they get so busy and they have so much paperwork that they have to go through, they may not check certain things out. So you as a buyer do have to be responsible, and you do have to be aware of those things. So those are just a few tips on empty houses when you're going in and you're looking at them and you evaluate them. Also, let me just share something with you that was told to me a long time ago. When it comes to buying a home, you need to remember, don't fall in love with the house. You may find a place that's just absolutely what you want, but you really need to take a positioning of being knowledgeable about what to look for and what to pay attention to. Because once you're in that house, it's a pretty big investment, and you don't necessarily want to end up putting out $25,000, as a friend of mine did, because there were certain things that were not in good order, and by the time they found out, it was too late. So you really want to be informed when you're going about. And this is a wonderful time of the year to be out shopping for a place. You've got long hours. You can do it at different times during the day and in the evening. It's a great time to go out and do it. This is a marvelous time, but be the informed buyer. And if you're a seller and you know that there's some things that are going along with your house, don't be afraid to take care of them. Don't think you can skimp and come out ahead. If you take care of the work, if you take care of making sure that house is in as good a shape as possible, one, it won't be on the market very long, and two, you're going to have a satisfied buyer and probably no legal problems afterwards. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, here are the telephone numbers to call in to, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Give me a buzz. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Now, I want to let you know who's coming up during the rest of this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Micheline Risley. We're going to be talking about how this is not the life I ordered. Aha. Got your attention? Yes. Well, it is going to be a lot of fun. She is really a delightful individual. We're going to find out how, if your life isn't the way you want it, you can shift it and make it different. Then, Alexandra Holzer is going to be my guest on Friday. We're going to be talking about her famous father, Hans Holzer, who is a pioneer in the area of the paranormal. We're going to be talking about his book, Spirit Connection. He is now in his 80s, so he is not comfortable because he has a hearing problem with being on the air live, but he is just as sassy and energetic about the paranormal as he ever has been. And Alexandra, his daughter, is going to be sharing how it is when you grow up haunted. Yes, that's the name of her book, Growing Up Haunted. Then we're going to be talking about kayaking next Monday. Mike Berenzi is going to be my guest. We're going to be traveling 900 miles with Mike, finding out about some of his adventures. Then we're going to be talking with Gary Nelson about a subject matter that so many people are afraid to even approach. What is that? It's teen depression. This is about his son, and he has a mission in life to be able to educate people on how to deal with teen depression because it is something that has, well, become more and more in the news, and he, as a father, has a very special message to share. Close to the bone, Jean Shinoda Bolin is a lady that I have had on the air before. She is a woman that is a wonderful metaphysician. She also is a person that has a profound philosophy for women. So we're going to be talking with her. And then Awakening After Life with Rene Jorgensen. He is in Canada. We'll be talking with him and finding out what he learned about taking power of his own life. And then Optimizing Your Life, Dr. Bernie Dahl. He always is about the positive aspect in life and making your life work for you. So we've got a great lineup of people, and I encourage you to check in with us. And all of this information is going to be up on the BBS site shortly, so you will be able to have access to it and will be able to check things out as you desire. Now, did you know that birds court with insect repellent? That one surprised you, didn't it? You didn't expect that one out of me. It's not an aphrodisiac. It's just a way to keep parasites at bay. Crested auklets, that's a particular kind of bird. They've really got interesting plumage, and the males have this strange little apparatus, I call it, sticking out of their head. I guess the females think that really is sexy. But anyway, they intertwine or entwine their necks and rub their bills through each other's plumage when they're courting. Now, researchers from the University of Alaska at Fairbanks decided they wanted to check this out. Why was this such a significant part of the courting ritual? Well, it didn't turn out to be something really, really wild and woolly. When the birds nuzzle each other, they transfer a citrus-scented secretion that contains aldehydes that repel ticks. Mm-hmm. Mother Nature is fascinating. The birds produce the material in feathers on their backs, and during courtship, the males and females present their backs to each other, and in this way, each auklet gets the insect repellent smeared on parts of its own body that it can't reach. The researchers studied the birds in a zoo and in their natural habitat on St. Lawrence Island in Alaska, and in both locations, they set up fake birds and blocks of foam with artificial scent. And the auklets quickly found the scented blocks and rubbed their heads and bodies on them. And that is something that the birds do. It is fun when you find out. And this is the kind of stuff I think it's great for kids. You know, we were talking about kids earlier, reading. When you can give this kind of information out to kids, when they are aware of things that are going on, I think the stimulus for reading needs to be encouraged, not only with their interests, but also with facts about science and other arenas, because the world is a very interesting place. When I was listening to Teresa talking about history and the passion she had with it, I think of a teacher that I had when I was in high school, and his name was Simon. And this was a guy, he was, I'd say about average build. He'd been in the Marines. And there was this one day in class, in fact, it was right at the beginning of the school year, and just like so many kids, you think, oh, history is going to be so boring. And we had the history books. Well, Simon was up in front of the class. He was sort of a laid-back kind of teacher compared to the others that we had. But he knew his history, and he really liked it. But we were going to be talking about World War II, and we were supposed to go by certain books. Well, he had served time in the military, and I can see him so clearly in my mind even today. We were starting to ask him questions, and he sat very thoughtfully on his stool behind the podium that he was speaking from, and he asked us, he said, do you really want to know what it was like for me as a soldier? Well, we all just said yes. I think we were about 13 years old. We had no clue about what he had gone through. And he sat there and then told us his story. And I could see his mind working and saying, gee, I'm wondering how much I should tell these kids. We were thrilled. So when he decided to go on with history about the Second World War, there were aspects of information that he gave us about Korea. He had been, you know, had spent some time over there. So what made history come alive for us was that he shared part of his own personal experience. And then that enabled us to relate to some of the material we were reading. And it made history a lot more interesting. I think that many times when schools can bring in people who have walked the walk of experience. I think of women that have been speaking in schools about Nazi Germany and various levels, both sides, you know, both of the German people as well as the Jewish people, the Poles, the Czechoslovakians, the Italians, the Russians. When you have people from the various backgrounds that have survived certain experiences come through and talk about those experiences, it brings it to life. And that's what makes teaching so very, very special. Science can be interesting. Physics can be interesting. Anything can be interesting when the human story is connected there. This is Donna Siebel. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Love learning. It makes life interesting, and the adventures will never cease. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.